Then I heard of a guy from France named Django Reinhardt. I fell in love with him too. Finally, a guy playing single string blues on an electric guitar called T-Bone Walker. crazy for the guitar, and I've been crazy for it ever since.
You know, Little Milton said exactly the same thing about T-Bone Walker.
He was like the disciple that we all followed.
Yeah, he was amazing. Your cousin's Booker White.
Booker White, yeah. I love Booker. I like his playing. He used a slide. I could never use the slide.
Yeah, me either.
But what I learned from Booker mostly was, you might say, musicianship. He used to tell me, anytime you're going out to play and you're going to be a musician, always try to dress like you're going to the bank to borrow some money. You know, what he meant was that, to be neat.
Yeah.
Look nice. Because he did always when I went out with him. The early years. So I wanted to be like him, I'm trying to say, as a person, more so than the guitarist. But if I could have played slide like he did, I would do that.
Yeah.
Gonna get up in the morning, baby, with the rising sun. Ooh, well, in the morning, baby, with the rising sun. If the train don't run, gonna be some walking down. She said, Daddy, Daddy, I don't stop, come on, hurry up. My baby says, I'm tired, going to bed and moan. Well, she said, tired of going to bed and moan. No loving, Daddy, Daddy, since that you've been gone. My baby said, I'm tired. Daddy had my best friend grown. Well, she said, I'm tired of hearing my best friend grown. She's out of class, you want me, Daddy. You better hurry up.
When you started touring nationally in the early 50s, how did you feel about the separate facilities for Black and White?
I wasn't happy about it. But, you know, it's an old saying that you never miss what you never had. So I grew up in a segregated society, and I knew about it. And I was one of those guys that didn't ever want to get in trouble if I didn't have to.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of friends, had a lot of white friends, and a lot of the blacks in the area in the Mississippi Delta did have a lot of white friends, because if they hadn't, it wouldn't have been none of us left down there.
The truth.
But we did have, and one of the nice things were about it, growing up in the Delta, white or black, their word was something very sacred. If I say I'll do it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
If I say I won't do it, I won't do it. So living with people that you knew that was like that, that they would die for the word, We had a lot of white people that would like that.
Don't
and
you?
If they yeah. said that I'm a friend, they were. But like I said, whatever I was doing, white people didn't care too much about it at that time. But we would have what we call white spectators. We played a lot of places. There was a black club, for example, but there was a white person that maybe serviced them with a jukebox or serviced the records or beer or something like that. And this person with Yuli, they knew about us, so they would come in and bring friends with them.
Yeah.
They didn't socialize, but they would come in. And but a little later on, when I moved to Memphis, after being in Memphis for a while, we had one spot called Sunbeams. And after everything was closed everywhere in West Memphis and all that, the whites and we all would sneak in up there, and we'd have jam sessions. We had many jam sessions. Because most times we could tell, see, when the police would come up, they had somebody to go, "Police!" Then we'd everybody get in their corner, see. But before that, man, we'd be jamming and have a good time, real good time.
Well, I tell you, how did you feel about the term race music?
Well, like I say, you never miss what you never had. And when I was a disc jockey, that's what Billboard used to say. And on a lot of the records would say race music, and that's the way they identified it. I didn't care too much for that.
No. There was a man who changed that. Do you know who that was?
No, I don't.
Jerry Wexler. Remember? You know Jerry?
Of course I know Jerry. Well, he's that kind of guy.
He changed it to rhythm and blues.
He's that kind of guy.
Did you ever know George Albert from Cashbox?
I don't think I did.
The man who owned Cashbox.
But I'll tell you, Cashbox has always been good to us.
Yeah.
Really, when I say us, B.B. King and
absolutely.
Band.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was a great man. Well, you've received well over 100 awards. You know, you've been on film, TV, radio, and you know, television commercials. You had books written about you, and you've written a book.
Yes.
Okay. What's next for B.B. King?
Well, as you mentioned, movies. I've been in quite a few, but it's most all times it's cameo appearance.
Yeah.
I think the Blues Brothers 2000, I had 2-3 lines in that. There was, and I'm called Gasparon, car dealer, used car dealer.
Yeah.
But that's the one thing more I would like to do, is to be in a full-length movie, not starring in it, but maybe co-star with some of the great, any of the actors or actresses around today. And I wouldn't want to star, but just be a co-star. That's one thing I'd like to do.
Your last album was a tribute to
Louis Jordan.
Louis Jordan. Mm-hmm. When I first came to this country in 1947, my dad owned a nightclub in just outside of Cordele, Georgia.
Cordele, yes. Right? I know Cordele.
On the Flint River, and on the jukebox, it had "Open the Door, Richard."
Louis
and
Jordan.
"Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens."
Chicken, yeah. And well, I did that. That's another tune that's on that. Excuse me. That's on that album.
Yeah.
One night Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barnyard with the greatest of care. Down in the hen house something stirred when he shouted, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So calm yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. We chickens trying to sleep, and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble with your chin. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. You're stomping around, shaking the ground. You're kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep, and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble. It's a sin. Tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do. We got eggs to lay. We got ground to dig and worms to scratch. It takes a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. Oh, there ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. Kindly point that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble off and hit to hay. Things to do, we got eggs to lay, we got ground to dig and worms to scratch. It takes a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. And kindly point that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble off and hit the hay. Hey, hey, boss man, what do you say? It's easy pickings. There ain't nobody here but us chickens.
You've been working hard.
Yeah, I've been recording for 6 weeks with
you. Yeah, that's the last thing I want to ask you. I want to talk, because I know you got that coming out with Eric Clapton.
Yes, one of the greatest sessions I've ever had.
You enjoyed it, huh?
Yes, I did.
Where you been recording?
L.A., mostly.
What studio?
I think it's called Studio One. And we had a wonderful...
Is it done?
Yes, we finished it this Saturday.
All right.
And at this moment, you'll be the first to know, but don't tell anybody I told you, but I think it's going to be titled Riding with the King. That's what Eric has in mind.
Excellent.
And
Well, it's a proper tribute.
Well, thanks so much.
It's a proper tribute.
But for me, it was something that I would have looked forward to for a long, long time. And I don't think it's hardly anything I can think of that made me happier in recording. Out of my 50 years of recording, this was the happiest. He's so good to work with. He's a nice person. And I've said many times, and I'll say to you, when it comes to rock and roll, he's number one, in my opinion, as a guitarist. Number one. And he played blues as well as most of us and better than a lot of us.
Absolutely.
That's how good he is. This is B.B. King, and you're tuned to Blue Power, Internet's home of the blues.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Jeannie, wasn't that a great show?
I got to tell you something. That is the most phenomenal, comprehensive interview I have ever heard, and talk about a musical historical background.
Well,
that was fascinating.
The man is America's ambassador of music.
Mm, he certainly enlightens me to a lot of the... I'd never heard some of these players, and it was phenomenal. I hope everybody enjoyed this interview. We're planning on doing another interview of similar nature with Ike Turner, of all people.
Ike Turner.
And that should be interesting because I know that B.B. King will be one of the first people to admit that Ike Turner was one of his first producers.
Absolutely.
So that should be coming up pretty soon. In the meanwhile, stay cool, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy listening to the interview. Support the blues, support the arts in school, and John, it's great to see you again, honey.
Bless your heart, Jeannie. Let's thank all these people that helped us out. I'd like to thank Mr. Jimmy Cantelli from ESI Services, a great event service company, and of course, we got to thank David Kimmelman, Mr. Michael Tope, Mr. Paul Rabbit, and of course, I love you, Jeannie.
And I love you too, John.
And this is BluePower.com, live to the internet.
Come and visit us anytime, day or night, and please be sure to sign the guest book. We'd love to hear from you. Good night, John.
Absolutely. Good night, Jeannie. Take care of yourself.
You too. Everybody take care.